God's fighting for us. I'm not in it by myself. I've got the best tag team partner anybody's ever had. He's fighting for me. He's pushing back the darkness. Woo! Oh man, if a song like that doesn't get you excited about what's happening in the spirit realm, if you there's not a smile that creeps upon your face when you think about a God who's fighting for you, who's pushing back the darkness, who's keeping things. I wish sometimes that God would allow us to peer into the spirit realm. Elisha's servant saw all the enemies encamped around about. The prophet of God came out and said, anoint his eyes with eye salve, Lord, that he would see. And when he looked beyond the enemy, there was a whole troop and encampment that surrounded. The host of the Lord was there upon the hills. If we could but see into the heavenlies for a little bit, if we could see into the spiritual realm and know that God's fighting for us, God's keeping some things from you, you don't even know. There's some attacks coming your way, you don't even know what they are. God's already stopped them. God's already put his hand out and said, no, not yet, not allowing that. It's not coming here. Pardon me if I get a little excited about who's fighting for me. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you give him a hand clap of praise? He's worthy. Have your Bibles and you be so kind. I feel good in the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Psalms chapter number 33, verse number 1. It's one verse of scripture to read in your hearing. I have reference this scripture numerous times, and well, I assure you do even more after this, but tonight I would ask us to let this scripture verse be the focus of what I believe the Lord would say to us. Psalms chapter 33, verse number 1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. A word comely there in that verse of scripture, if you do a little study, you'll find that that word means beautiful, attractive. Praise is beautiful. Praise is attractive. This is what I want to preach to you upon tonight. Attracting the attention of God. Attracting the attention of God. If there's anybody I want to attract the attention of, it's the one who has the power to save me. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in doing what is attractive unto him. I'm interested in participating in what is comely unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I've said it many times. I'll continue to say it. The Bible says there's only one prerequisite for praise. It simply says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So guess what? If you're here, you're breathing. And if you're breathing, you have all the prerequisite necessary to lift your hands, lift your voice, and give praise unto the Lord. My Bible tells me he finds it attractive. Praise is comely for the upright. Ha, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's it. Why don't you praise him a little bit? You'll never be more attractive in the spirit realm than when you're praising and magnifying Jesus, when you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice in praise, giving a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks unto his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. In May of 2013, the cover of Time magazine read like this: the me generation. Millennials are lazy, entitled narcissists who still live with their parents. I didn't say that. That was on the cover of Time magazine in May 2013. Some have called it the rise of the selfie generation. Social media outlets and apps like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Kick Messenger, Instagram, Uvu, Vine, Snapchat, just to name a few, facilitate a society absolutely self-consumed and self-absorbed with their favorite people, themselves. Now, before we jump on the bandwagon of blaming the youth and the younger generation, we would do well to remember that what one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. So one cannot shine the light of ridicule on the excess of the up-and-coming generation without seeing the shadow that is looming large and is created by our own. The Apostle Paul, well, prophesied concerning these times in Romans 1, 21 through 23. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You see, the many images and idols of our day are not precious metals that are crafted into statues and set upon high heels. No, they are rather cropped and touched up in pictures and images on screens and print. They're plastered on billboards and marketing materials. Everywhere you look, it's be a better you, look better, diet better. It's all about image. It's all about perfection. It's all about what society wants. It's all about getting the attention of someone else. It's all about getting someone to look at me. It's all about being pretty enough and nice enough and handsome enough. It's always all about having the image or portraying that image of perfection. Somehow, some way, people can feel better about themselves. It doesn't take long. In just a few minutes on the internet, one is offered a link on how to look better, how to lose weight, the next miracle drug, the next miracle substance, how to reduce wrinkles, how to stop the aging process, and it goes on and on and on and on. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in looking good and feeling healthy, and I believe in all that. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe you got to be a slob and serve Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But we do need to understand that the Bible says that we should be in moderation. And Paul wrote young Timothy, and he said in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. I believe in exercise. I believe in being healthy. I believe in being fit. But we need to realize and we need to face it. Much of what we do is after the attention of others. I know we wouldn't get too many amens on this one.
we would be remiss to dismiss the notion that we all like to be noticed. Because guess what? We do. Even those people who say they don't like to be noticed like to be noticed. Even those people who portray, oh no, I don't like for people to point me out. Yes, you do. Certain people, yes, you do. And yes, I do. It's a part of our humanity. It's a part of our makeup. It is who we are. But can I say this as kindly as possible? True conversion does not negate one's desire to be noticed, but rather true conversion changes who we want to do the noticing. I'm going to say that again. True conversion does not negate one's desire to be noticed, but rather true conversion changes who we want to do the noticing. When I truly understand, when I truly come in contact with a merciful, loving Savior, it's about me wanting to attract His attention. It's about me wanting to do what is pleasing unto Him. That's why when I read the Bible and I see certain things, I can't find scripture and verse for everything that I do. But guess what? I can find principle and precept which tell me these things are pleasing unto God. And I'm all about attracting the attention of God. See, but I do know. I'm a realist in my humanity. I often find myself, I find myself after the attention of others. I've said many weeks ago, I was out doing stuff and I was working and I was getting a little disgruntled about this and that. And I was having one of those serious conversations with God. And it's as if God spoke to me and said, well, who are you doing this for? I had to stop and say, well, I'm focusing on other people and the response I'm not getting or this is not happening. He's like, who are you doing it for? Because if you're doing it for them, your motive's all wrong in the first place. You need to understand you're doing it for me, and I see what you're doing. I understand what's going on. If nobody else sees or nobody else notices, it doesn't mean that much to me. But if he sees and if he notices, I'm all about attracting the attention of God. I serve. I do what I do, not so you can look at me, not so other people can see me, but that through me they can see God. I want my life to point unto him. I want people to see him through me. But I know how it is. I know we like to be noticed. We like to stand out sometimes. We like to be told. Everybody likes a compliment. Everybody likes to be made feel good about themselves. That's not all wrong, but the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Galatians. He said, for now do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's saying, listen, you need to understand, the more I try to please mankind, the less I'm endeavoring to please God. But the less I try to please mankind, the more I find myself serving God. See, it's not a popular thing because it's a reality of where we live. But we need to get back to the understanding that one of the reasons why I seek to attract the attention of God is because I am his servant. And when that fateful day comes, I want him to look at me and say, yeah, you attracted my attention. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys prepared. Because guess what? When I stand before him at that time, it ain't going to matter how many other people notice me. It ain't going to matter who got my contact information and who didn't. It ain't going to matter who complimented me and who didn't compliment me. The only thing that's going to matter is, did I attract the attention of Almighty God? Did I do what was pleasing in his sight? Did I, through his help, live up to the expectation he had for me? Now do I seek to persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Because if I seek to please men, I can't call myself a servant of Christ. I can't serve two masters. And we need to understand that who we're trying to attract the attention of, who we're trying to get to notice, is essentially who we want appreciating us and who we want noticing us and where our love lies. Don't believe me? Let me just be real with you. Let me tell you why many times, and this is not a fix-all, but let me tell you why marriages have so many problems today. Because marriage in and of itself and relationship one with another is flawed in the sense that it stays on a level that is human, on a level that is natural. And while initially the attraction is there and initially the, oh, I can't go a day without her, turns into I'd like a day without her. I didn't mean that, honey, wherever you are. But it's based upon a flawed premise of natural attraction. Because guess what? We all age. And we all get older. And what attracted us initially, y'all know where I'm going. Some of y'all smiling. It may not be there after a while. Here's the thing. If you can ever get a couple to have a mutual attraction for the things of God, and there's a common denominator that even when the attraction sometimes between each other isn't there, there's still an attraction for the things of God. And the man of God one is, or the woman of God one is. And that attraction towards God is what many times stabilizes a relationship. And when all the other stuff fades and all the other stuff fails, you can still look at that man of God, or you can still look at that woman of God and say, thank you for blessing me with her, God. Thank you for blessing me with him, God. We need to get back to the understanding that correct motive cares more about what is attractive to God than what is attractive to mankind. Correct motive in my worship. You see, you need to understand why I do what I do has a lot to do with who I'm doing it for. Praise is comely for the upright. Praise is beautiful. I do what I do because he is who he is. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I was created to please him. The Creator created me to please him. And guess what? I found out that things go a lot better when I take care of the one who's taking care of me. When I say, Lord, you didn't have to save me, but you did. You didn't have to do what you did, but you did. And so I worship you. And so I magnify you. And so I praise you, because I'm taking care of who's taking care of me. And I know you find pleasure in my praise, that it's attractive unto you. And I have a desire to attract your attention. And so I serve you, and I take care of who's taking care of me. You see, Lucifer got caught up in a craze of self-advancement and got demoted. It became all about him.